Well, to see everybody out this morning. Always a great privilege to come out to gather together to study God's Word as we had the opportunity to do so. Some have family in, so therefore me, you're new. But visitors, I know most people here probably know you, but we welcome you out. We're always excited to have visitors, and of course, encourage that you come back and be with us in the opportunity you have. I'd say you open your Bibles and follow along as we go throughout the lesson this morning. See that it is the Word of God that is being presented, that we do strive to make sure that we follow His commandments and His commandments alone, and when we teach, that is what we teach from. At this time and point, I believe everybody is now back in school. Of course, for my family, it's finally in school with one. But it is that time of year that everybody is heading back to school. Everybody's getting back into that routine, and therefore I thought I'd go ahead and speak on that this morning. It is back to school. And as we go through the points this morning, though, it is titled Back to School, and that's the way I'm going to be kind of referring to it for the most part. The points that will be made are points that we need to keep with us every day in our life. They are points that we can keep with us as you may be working, secular work, working wherever it is that you go in every day to do your regular job. And it's not just for those who are in school. But something that we need to keep in mind as we start this new week, as we are ready to go back in, as we're about to approach and go back into the world, that we keep all these points in our mind. So the first thing I want to look at is, what kind of example are you setting? You're heading back into school, and the question is, how do people look at you? What example do you set as you go to school? Are you setting a good one or a bad one? Matthew chapter 5, if you open up your Bible, turn along. Matthew chapter 5, starting there and in verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Here it's telling us that we are the salt of the earth. But it brings out that what good is salt if it doesn't have flavor? Or why do they put a city on a hill if they desire to be hidden? Or why turn a light on if you want to cover it up? It says there's no point to it. So it comes to that point of why be a member of the church? Why be a Christian if you're not going to let your light shine? If you're not going to set the example that you need to for others to see? We're not pulled out from the world, part of the world, in the aspect of being spiritually with them, just so that we can hide. But God wants us to use our work, our deeds, our words to shine out. We were talking this morning there in the book of Timothy as we were going through Bible class, and that's one of the things he said about the servant serving his master. That in doing so, in serving well, and showing the honor and respect, that it's all towards pointing to God. And that's the last part of these verses he's saying. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." It's not about doing the best you can just for yourself alone, but so that God may receive the glory. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. What example are we setting as we continue on? Are we setting a modest example? Here in 1 Timothy 2:9 it says, "In the like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, braided hair, gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for a woman professing godliness with good works." Now this is more speaking into the time frame of the church gathered together as it goes into talking about women learning in silence and respect, and as it's going into the order of worship to an extent. But as we consider that verse and we apply it with what we see throughout the Word, we're to be modestly dressed. And this doesn't just apply to the women, but it applies to men also. And we need to consider what it is we're wearing as we go out to public, as you're going back into school, as you go to work, wherever it may be, that you consider what it is you're wearing. Whether this is professing a godly woman or man as you're going out. Or when someone looks at you, whether they think you're a Christian at all, by what you wear. And with school starting, that means sports are in effect. And, you know, I played sports in school, and I played soccer in high school, and I wrestled in high school, and before that I was in it all, playing football and basketball and baseball. And I know how easy it is to get caught up in doing what everybody else is doing. And guys will be out practicing without shirts. Girls are out there practicing just in sports brawls. Are we modestly dressing as we're out there? Shining an example. As Christians, as followers of God. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 33. Matthew 12 verse 33. Here it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified by your works. You will be condemned. We need to watch what we say. It's easy, once again, we talked about it, about work this morning, with reading about Timothy and what we may be saying, about spreading gossip, about talking down about our those who are in charge. Same thing. Whether you're talking down about other kids and classmates, whether you're making fun of your teacher, or spreading it, you know, what is coming out of our mouth? James chapter 3 has a lot to say about what comes out of our mouth. How it is hard to tame the tongue. We need to be careful. We need to watch what we're saying. Because people are listening. People will hear what you have to say. You are setting an example of doing so. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 3. Here it says, clearly, this is it. Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He's speaking of the good that they're doing. He says, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Here it says, you guys are an epistle, already written in flesh. It says, you know, there's no need to look up, because by looking at you, by seeing the example you set, people know how they should be acting. By looking at you, that they see what needs to be done. Paul's saying, I've heard about this. I've heard about all the good you've been doing. That's how it works, is people watch what we do. There's a hymn in the hymn book titled, you know, the world's Bible. We are the world's Bible. God has no hands, but our hands to He has no feet, but our feet to go out into the world. He has no mouth, but our mouth to go and spread the word. But if we are too busy, too caught up in everything else, but setting the example and doing good, then how will others know? We have our part that we need to do. When it comes to doing work, when it comes to doing our school work, what kind of example are we setting? How hard are we trying? I understand that if you were to come and sit down and talk with me about the time that I was in school, I'm telling you I would not pass what I'm talking about now. I did not like sports. The only reason I strive to make passing grades is so that I can continue in my schools. As long as I made enough pass, my focus was on the sports. Now you ask how good and how hard I tried in sports, I pass it. But we need to be doing our best at all things that we get our hands in. That we are committed to. we need to make sure that we're doing our part. Colossians 3 and verse 23. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. As it reads here, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." It says, don't worry about it once again, about it being doing it for your teacher. Or doing it for it says, do all things heartily as unto the Lord. As if this is the work God has tasked you with. Give it your best. Give it your best. I wish I had. I hated doing school work. I did not enjoy reading at the time and point. I've gone into preaching, where I have to study all the time, write lessons, and now I have to make sure proofread all my PowerPoints time and again. And if you pay attention, you'll probably find out that I'm not the best speller or grammar person. Or just listen to the way I speak. I wish I'd worked. I wish I'd have paid attention. I wish I'd have done it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. We see another example of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and in verse 10. It says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your mind. For there is no word or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. It says, whatever you find to do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your mind. Because in the end, if we wait till tomorrow, we push it all off, we try to learn it later, and make it too late. It will not go with you in the end. Continue to give your best. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 7. It says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Whatever he is, a slave of God. It doesn't matter who you are, what gender you are, do your best. Give it your all as to the Lord. How often we lose this mindset as we go back home, we go back into the world, that we need to do all things as unto the Lord. Do it as heartily as unto the Lord. Because we're setting an example. Because we are shining the light. We need to do it the way God has commanded us to do it. Next point for this morning. Who are your friends? Who is it that you hang out with? How do you treat other people that may not be your friends? The question comes out as we are, as some are going back to school, as you're going back into work. Who is it the main people you hang out with? I understand that we live in this world and we have to be in this world, but we're not of it. Jesus himself lived in this world. He sat down and ate with sinners. He spread the word. We have to be there. We have to shine our light. We have to be able to do that. But if the only people that we're always hanging out with are the ones that are gossiping, are always the ones that are swearing, are always the ones that are getting in trouble, what kind of example are they setting for you? What do people think of you as you're in that group? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits, good morals. It eventually rubs off. Once again, anyone who has children, it comes to that point. Where did they learn to say it? Well, they learned it because they heard it from someone. Then you got to ask, did I really say that? Or you ask, how often have I said that? They just repeat what they do. The same thing as we're in the world, and you may say, well, I'll be able to resist it, but if you hear it enough, it just eventually comes. Who do we keep company with? In 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Welcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says, your glorifying is not good. You do not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And this can be applied to so much. It's just the mindset works. as you know, speaking of the baking and leaven, that you get a little bit in there, and the bread, the whole bread, will end up rising. And so if you get a little in there, you need to get start over. And if we just let a little bit of sin come in, then a little bit of sin is going to grow and eventually come completely through. We have to choosing who more friends, who it is we walk upon. But also, to the extent of how we treat others, even when we know that we can't get along with everybody. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Romans 12 and verse 18, here it tells us, it says that it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now the key part is it says, if possible. It doesn't say it's always going to be possible. But as much as depends on you, you're not the one that's starting the arguments or fights. You're not the one that is spreading the gossip. You're not the one that's out there doing wrong to somebody. As much as depends on you, depends on me, live peacefully with all. Are we doing that? Or do sometimes we don't care what people think, therefore we just go ahead and be rude to them. We go ahead and start the fight. We're supposed to live peacefully with all. Do good unto all, especially those of the households. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, as so many call it, the golden rule. Doing as unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. When you looked this up, I found it interesting that one person said that that's what sets Christianity a little different than a lot of the religions, a lot of the different teachings, because they have similar sayings. And to the point of, don't do unto others as you wouldn't want them to do to you. Simple point, if you don't want someone to hit you, don't hit them. If you don't want somebody to go and call you names, then don't call anyone else names. But here's the further step of, do to them as you want them to do. You know, if you want someone to be there for you, be there for them. If you're wanting someone to be kind to you, then you need to be kind to them. If you want to be forgiven, then you have to be forgiving. How are we treating one another? Even to the extent of living peacefully with all, even our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 telling us that we are to love our enemies. Verse 43 says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of our Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends a rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, but do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. It says love. Pray for. Bless. Whoever had the attitude of an eye for an eye. Striving out to do. How people can pray for enemies. For those who do maybe mock you, who may call you names. Maybe always trying to stir up something with you. We pray for them. We pray that they will change. Pray that by your example that they may give up. Maybe something that you have done may turn to the Lord. What kind of example are we setting? Who is it that is setting the influence on you? How do we treat one another? As we go out into the world, you know, often too much in the world today is mindset that as long as we come here on Sunday, that's all that matters. We're supposed to be seeking first God always putting God first in our lives. And that includes everything. That includes when you're at school. That includes when we're at home and on our own. Always putting God first. This Matthew 6 verse 33 is telling us not to worry about the things of the world, not worrying about the things, the necessities of the world, the clothes on our back, the food that we need, the what says that all that will be taken care of if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These things will be added. If we do what He has commanded, putting God first. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it tells us to pray without ceasing. We're always to be praying, always to keep God in our minds. In times of struggle, pray to God. In times of being rewarded, thank God. If you routinely usually say a prayer at home when you're eating, you don't have to give that up when you're outside of the house. Once again, though, we're not to pray so that people will see you. Just doing it because you want everybody to call. Oh, that must be a holy person. Look out and go. You're not doing it just for the eyes of men, but you're doing it because that's what you do. Because you want to be thankful for all things. Because you need God to strengthen you in hard times. Daniel wasn't going to hide what he always did when the government, when the king said in order that no one shall bow down to any other god or anyone except for him, Daniel continued to worship marvelously. Without the worries of the world and fearing the consequences of the men, continued to put God first no matter what. Seek first his king. 1 John 4, verse 1-6. And going into the world, going back to school, having other things, other beliefs, people teaching different things. And even in the classes, they're going to be teaching evolution, and they're going to be teaching that the world has been there for millions of years. That's every spirit. Are we just going to take the word of men, or are we going to test what they say? As we're commanded here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already. Be ready to stand your ground in your faith in Jesus, in your faith in God. Be ready always to give an answer for our faith, for our hope. We're commanded to do in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Be ready to give an answer. Timothy was told to be ready in season and out of season. There in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Ready in season and out of season to convince, to rebuke, to exhort all of us. We have to be ready. Meaning we have to do our study. We have to do our prayer. We have to be ready. Give a defense for our faith. When they ask you maybe why did you pray? Or they may ask you why it is you won't go to do certain things. Maybe they'll ask you why it is you'd rather come to services rather than go to the ball game or go to do something else. You have to be ready to get your answer. Ready to explain why it is you believe put God first. Final point for this morning is that God is always going to be there. Even when you're at work or even when you're at school, when you're not here at the church building, God is still there. God will be close by that you can go to Him in prayer. That you can lean on Him for strength. When He had sent His disciples out, His apostles out there at the end, in Matthew 28, verse 18, saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go and make disciples. It says, teach them all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. He is there for us. He is always there for you. He will guide you in the right direction if you just look to Him. Draw near. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, as they were entering into Canaan, as they're about to go in and, of course, to wipe out all the Canaanites and the Hittites, to go in and take this land as God has commanded. That is the words of encouragement He gives to them that the Lord will be with them. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So don't be afraid. Doesn't matter what side of this land that we're taking on. Doesn't matter how big the armies are. The Lord is with you wherever you go. As long as we continue to pray. As long as we continue to seek Him and His help. Again, David was mentioned the same thing in Psalm 23, his faith was in God. You look at his examples throughout his life. When he was in hard times, when he faced Goliath, when he was being chased by Saul, when he was serving as king, he had to turn to God for his strength. When he was surrounded by enemies. You read verse 1 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you read verse 4 with me, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come. Now hopefully you don't consider that that school is walking through the shadow of death, but if it's that scary to you, that bad to you, that people are always on, you can make it through with God on your side. You can continue to be faithful through all the temptations that come with you if you rely on God. God will always be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. We have to simply make sure we remember that God dwells in us. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He is so close to us that He dwells in us. This is His new covenant. This is the covenant that He has made with us. And He will forget our sins and will write His commandments on our hearts. He dwells within us. As long as we watch ourselves from the sin, that we turn to Him and confess our faith, He will be with us always to the end of the age. So if you are here this morning, you need the prayers of the congregation. We want to extend that opportunity to come forward and ask for prayer. Let us pray for you also. James 5 tells us that we are to come to one another, confess our sins to each other. That way we can pray for each other. The prayer of a man and a woman. The prayer of a congregation, of the whole congregation. If you're here this morning, you desire to obey the gospel. You're tired of going to school or facing this world alone and you need God on your side, you want to obey the Lord, you want to be baptized into Christ so that you know that He dwells in you, that you are a temple of God. You can do that also. Whatever your need be, we come forward to stand us.
My God.